Good morning, everyone. It is Wednesday, July 21, the Big Sports Breakfast, Sky Sports Radio. Good morning. And this morning, well, the Tokyo Games begins amidst a blaze of controversy in a pandemic, with the boss of the Games not even ruling out a cancellation, a late cancellation of the event, as Clarkey predicted could in fact occur. But at 10 o'clock this morning our time, Australia is involved in the first event when they take on Japan in the softball. Japan are the defending Olympic champs, and we're going to speak to the chief executive of Softball Australia, David Pryles, later this morning to find a bit about our side. And they're up against, as I mentioned, the defending Olympic champs. In action at the moment, well, Ange Postecoglou and his Celtic side, his first competitive match in charge, and they are leading 1-0 against Danish club Midtjylland. Ange Postecoglou's Celtic in the first leg of their Champions League qualifier second round action. And there's cricket on at the moment in the West Indies as well, in the Caribbean, in Barbados. Clarkey, morning to you, mate. The Aussies have named for three debutants here: Ben McDermott, Josh Phillippe, who both opened the batting. Wes Agar, the paceman as well. And they've made a pretty good start, 1 for 80 after 15 overs. Morning to you, mate. How are you?
Yeah, morning, boys. Yeah, good start from the Aussies. Batting first. I've just got the TV on here as well, and Mitch Marsh looks in good nick. He's creaming at the moment, 20 off 21 balls, and then young McDermott gets his opportunity. He's played some good cricket, good domestic cricket back here in Australia for a few years now. So exciting to see him get his chance. Josh Phillippe as well, been more of a 2020 top order batsman, Josh, in recent times. So obviously, his first crack at one day cricket, and then Wes Agar, as you said, got a bit of extra pace, big, tall, fast bowler. So we'll see him go to work a little bit later throughout the game. But yeah, big game for the Aussies, Middo. It's funny, like even me, I feel like I know so many of the players. You look down this lineup and new faces. So exciting times for Australian cricket. And, you know, these opportunities come because there's guys back home not playing. The other thing I read this morning, Middo, in regards to cricket is the boys, once they arrive back after this one-day series, are meant to hop straight onto a plane and head to Bangladesh for a series. And obviously not too far from India, Bangladesh, with the COVID going on over there. It's going to be really interesting again to see what the Australian cricket team does. We've seen them pull out of South Africa. We've seen players decide to go to the IPL, which was, you know, COVID heaven, absolute chaos. Yet now they've got an opportunity to go to Bangladesh as the Australian team. Are they going to say yes, or are they going to find a way to pull out?
Looks like Mitch Marsh has just tickled one down the leg side. It's got his glove, looks like, there. So second wicket just falling, it appears. And, yep, the umpire's just given that out. So 2 for 80 after 16 overs, the Aussies there in the Caribbean. Morning to you, Loz. Thoughts with everyone in the Central West around the Orange area as well today, another area in lockdown. And talking to people have just about fed up with what's going on at the moment in lockdown. And you know, thinking of all those people who are doing it really tough at the moment, a lot of those small businesses in particular.
Yeah, most definitely, Middo, here in Sydney and also now out there in the Central West. The people of Orange, I heard that news last night in Blaney, so hopefully everyone does the right thing, and for the next 7 days they get through it as best they possibly can. It's something that we're all having to deal with and live with over the last 18 months, and you know, all we can do is hopefully people are getting vaccinated, and hopefully, you know, we can get on with our lives as quickly as we possibly can. Talking about getting on with our lives, it's a big day for Queensland today and Australia. In fact, in the next 10 minutes, we will find out.
It's tonight.
They've got up.
Is it?
They've got there that it is happening in the next 10 minutes on Channel 9, that the decision will be brought this morning.
Okay, right. My understanding was it was going to be later tonight. But we'll see what channel. Okay, right. This is on the Today Show at the moment.
Yeah, they've got their meeting starting, and then they find out their decision.
Right. Okay. Well, this is a hugely significant day in Australian sport, because Brisbane, Southeast Queensland, is expected to be announced as the host of the 2032 Games. So, this is the first decision under a new IOC process. So, instead of expensive bidding wars as there has been in the past. Bids are invited and you engage in talks with IOC members and other potential hosts if ours doesn't or isn't ratified include Qatar, Budapest in Hungary, a joint North-South Korean bid. I mean, surely not. And a German bid as well. So apparently we're home and host, but until we hear the winner is Brisbane, I'll never forget that one, Antonio Semeresh. The winner is Sydney. What was that, 1993, 94?
Yeah, I remember.
And what that did for the country then.
I think it united everyone, didn't it? Everyone was very excited. And how great it will be if we get the opportunity to go, well, for me, for the second Olympics. It'll be my, you know, second Olympics here in Australia. Up there in Queensland, they do a sensational job. I mean, Sydney was always going to be great, wasn't it? We were lucky enough to come down here and attend some events and really enjoyed it. It was a great atmosphere. The volunteers did a great job. Without the volunteers, it would have went off as well as it did. And I'm sure Queensland will have the same. But it's a big day for everyone in Queensland. And obviously, you know, being over there, the Premier and the Sports Minister, they're about to walk into that meeting and hopefully get the right result we're after.
Yeah, indeed. The player transfer market, Loz, wow. It's head spinning. What's going to occur in the next 12 days or so before August 1, when that deadline as far as signing players and filling your top 30 roster closes. But Tevita Pengai, is he going to Penrith? Is he going to Penrith before he goes to the Dogs next year? A lot of conflicting reports on that this morning. But big news as well in regards to Mitchell Moses and Parramatta, featuring the papers today. He suffered a fracture in his back early in Origin 3. He's out for, well, definitely the game against Canberra tomorrow night, but an indefinite period. I mean, this is all the stuff you just dread as a coach at this stage of the season. We've seen it with Penrith losing both their halves through injury, but this sort of injury to your halfback for Brad Arthur and Parramatta, last thing they need.
Yeah, it is. I mean, you want your best players available when you're coming to the back end of the season, but that's why you have depth in your squad, and that's why you've got to be comfortable that you've made the right decisions in recruitment and comfortable that you've given players an opportunity throughout the year. And there was some talk about them chasing Anthony Milford, and now you look back and think, well, that was only a couple of days ago. Obviously, they were looking for some cover for Mitch Moses. Now, when I first heard a broken back, I thought he'd be out for the year. Mitch Moses might be gone for the year, but they're only talking possibly 2 weeks. So if that's the case, I mean, they handled Moses not being there the other night. They were sensational against the Titans, and they had a very good victory. But yeah, he copped plenty of criticism for his performance in Origin 3, but you can't question his toughness of being out there and being able to play through the final 70 minutes of that game. He did in the opening 10 minutes, a tackle from Felice Kafusi. And they're saying that that type of fracture is generally associated with a car or a motorcycle accident. So he's obviously done some damage there, but they're thinking that he'll only miss 2 weeks of football. And that is a good result.
So as I mentioned, the softball this morning at the Olympics, the Aussie Spirit, they're plus 6.5 with Tab against Japan. Now, the Aussies have won silver or bronze on 4 occasions, but never gold. So it's the sport is returning to the games. It last appeared in 2008. And there's a story in News Corp papers today about Jade Wall from Hervey Bay in Queensland. She's in the federal police. She spent a fortune out of her own pocket to get to this point. And these are the stories, aren't they, pup, that you love about the games, the amateur athletes and what they have to go through. I mean, there's a great debate at the moment about funding, but don't worry, if we get the Olympics, the funding will increase significantly, as it did ahead of Sydney 2000. But these are the stories you love that emerge about, you know, the lesser-known athletes that come out in the next couple of weeks.
Yeah, 100%. You know, it's the journey, isn't it? Everyone's got their own, and you can only imagine the work that goes in, the time, the commitment for people that aren't professional, that have got to work full-time jobs, pay the bills, pay a mortgage, look after your family, and then, you know, the sport you love and dream of, you've got to go and work just as hard. So, yeah, I think, again, as you say, this is what the Olympics is about. You sit there and see the success and the effort from the athletes, and you find out a lot about them as well. And that's what heroes are. You know, I think that's exactly what we're looking for in this country. I don't think we do it enough, Mido. I don't think we build our athletes up enough. We have expectation, as we expect them to be role models. But again, we speak about the swimming, for example. You know, I go back to when I was a youngster, there was 5, 6, 7 different male-female swimmers that you just knew everything about them. They're on the back of, you know, the Milo pack or the Weet-Bix pack, and you just idolise them and couldn't wait to watch them. I think we've got to, you know, use opportunity like this, the Olympic Games, as the shop front window for young boys and girls. Give them role models, give them people to look up to, and that's us as fans to really get behind the Aussies, and I guess the media as well to tell more of these stories. Tell us about who these athletes are and what they've gone through to get to the top. So, yeah, like I say, I want my little girl to look at a runner or a swimmer or a high jumper or whatever it is and idolise them.
Now, unfortunately, the much-anticipated L. Daly v. C. McGregor bout in whatever discipline, it can't occur for at least a year because Dana White's come out and told us that Conor McGregor, after suffering that horrendous injury, it'll take him at least a year to recover. He's also got chronic arthritis in his ankle as well. So, no C. Yeah. McGregor for a while for your loss.
I don't think that was a surprise, you know, after seeing that leg the way it was when it buckled underneath him and it ended the fight. I don't think anyone thought he'd be back in 6 months. It looked horrible, and obviously there'll be a rematch there at some point in time. They'll take it to a third and decider. But he's saying that he wants to come back and wants to fight again. But a clean break of the tibia, I reckon you'd have your doubts about kicking someone again.
Gone. Career over.
Yeah.
Token fights only. Token, make money, fight an influencer or... Well, he's only fighting for, token dollars now. His career's over.
I think you might be right there, pup. Quick break. Headlines coming up next. And the back page of the Daily Telegraph. I knew he was gone, Arthur Lords-Moses, for playing with broken back. So it emerged that he suffered this back fracture early in Origin 3 when he was hit pretty hard by Felice Kafusi. So played around 70 minutes with that fracture. It's uncertain how long he'll be out for. Definitely at least against Canberra tomorrow night. Dylan Brown and Jake Arthur in the halves against the Raiders. Therefore, well, could Anthony Milford end up there very soon? Dean Ritchie says unlikely. We'll speak to Bulldog obviously later this morning. But you now wonder with this injury that they'd be very keen to get Anthony Milford in. Although there's other reports today in the Sydney Morning Herald that the club Brisbane could offer Dane Gagai a 3-year deal, which could see Milford head to Redfern. So there's swings and roundabouts at the moment.
Yeah, I think in the next couple of weeks, you know, we're going to hear a lot about clubs making plays for certain players in the lead up to the finals, in particular the clubs that are still going to be there when the finals are here. You can't have enough depth. You want to make sure that you've got players there that you can cover throughout the final series. And, you know, if any club could get Anthony Milford, well, look, while he hasn't produced anywhere near his best, I think everyone knows what he's capable of doing. And the fact he's still only 26 years of age says that he's got to, you know, if you can get him in the right frame of mind, you get him for the right price and he comes with the right attitude, you're picking up a good player. There's a lot of ifs there. That's the problem, because he hasn't shown any of that form consistently for a long period of time now. It's like Tevita Pengai Jr. You know, when you're paying that type of money, you want to be confident that you can get the best out of them. Mm. Otherwise, they're going to frustrate you and they're going to be criticised because of the amount of money they're on, and two, their performances on the field don't live up to their reputation. And that's one thing that frustrates everybody, is the fact that you've got this big name signing coming to your club and they just don't perform. But over the next couple of weeks, we will see and hear of player swaps and player deals going on. And a lot of those will be players that are coming from clubs not playing finals football, going to clubs that are going to play finals football to give them a bit of depth and a better chance of winning a competition.
Also, back page of the telly today, the great man Bulldog has an exclusive Kalen's Dream Trifecta. So, Kalen Ponga, the star fullback of the Knights, is set to activate his contract options, according to Bulldog's report, ensuring that he stays for at least the next 3 years. This will be music to the ears of Knights fans. So, he could have talked to other clubs at November 1. He's off contract at the end of next year with those options in his favour for the following years. The Knights also intend, according to this report, to move him to 5'8". That would be for the 2023 season, as they've got Mitchell Pearce and Jake Clifford there next year. and also potentially give him the captaincy. There's a trifecta there from Bulldog.
Well, some people go to another level with a captaincy. Kanan Ponga, it was interesting because when Nathan Brown decided to play him at 5'8", he was heavily criticised. And I think he played three games there to start the season. And then, you know, they weren't winning. And then he had to move him back into the fullback role. Kalen, I've got no doubt, would be able to handle it. He's shown before that defensively, he's a big body and he's able to get his body in front and he tackles quite well when he's in that front line. Obviously, it's difficult at times as a fullback, and he's been heavily criticised on our program before about last man defence for the Newcastle Knights conceding or allowing players to run around him so easily. But look, there's no denying his talent. There's no denying what he's capable of doing. We all saw that in Game 3 in State of Origin. But he's got to do it, as we continually say, consistently at Clubland. When you're paying players that type of money, they've got to give you an 8 out of 10 every week.
Geez, his best games are good, aren't they? It's just like he needs to aim to be what Billy Slater was, which, you know, it's obviously a hard act to match. Mm. But, you know, Billy just produced every single week.
I think I've seen Kalen Ponga, not that he's played a lot of Origin, but every Origin he's played.
He's been great.
He's been great. Even his first game when he came off the bench, and I think they played him at lock, he nearly won the game for Queensland. Mm. And he was whacking them in the middle. And that's where he was defending. He was defending in the middle third of the field. So he's got the ability. And again, the bigger the game, the better he tends to play.
In the Sydney Morning Herald today, Panthers back in for Pengai as JFH, James Fisher-Harris, quits bubble for Bub. Yesterday it was confirmed that the Broncos have officially granted that early release. Now, News Corp was saying that the NRL salary cap auditor placed the value of a three-month cameo for Pengai at the Panthers at $130,000. And News Corp says Penrith has approximately $80,000 worth of cap space. But this report saying that, well, Penrith are now back in the hunt to sort something out. And Denny Widler agrees as well from the Nine Network that a short stint at the Panthers is certainly a possibility. So this will be all worked out, I'm sure, in the next 10 days. But, again, there's just something uncomfortable about a player playing for three teams in a six-month period.
It's just
horrible. I don't know. I believe that this August 1 deadline is going to be in for next year as well. Surely it has to go back to June 30, wouldn't you say, Pup? I don't know how comfortable I am with players moving so close to the finals.
How do you build loyalty to your team if you're playing for three teams in 6 months?
And therefore, how's the finals a reflection of the whole season?
That's when exactly right.
Just before, 5 weeks before the finals, you're going and filling your roster with superstars potentially to fill a gap. No, for a short period of time.
I don't like it at all. I don't know what the right system is. Loz will know that. But, I think if he goes to Penrith, I just think it's going to... People will laugh. And then the club expects the player to be loyal to the club. You go, mate, how can I be loyal? You flicked me or I left you. I've gone to somewhere else for 3 months stint and then I'm off again. You're just putting a jersey on. The jersey means nothing. Isn't that what sport's about? You represent your jersey. You represent the fans. You represent your country in my sport or your state. Like, that's where the pride is, putting that New South Wales shirt on or that Australian, you know, baggy green cap. That's what sport's about. You got to care about your club and your team.
What do you think, Loz?
Where
do you stand on this?
Look, I don't think it's right. I think that it should go back to June 30. I think that you should have your roster in place by then. It just allows four clubs to sit back, leave a spot or two open, and as you quite rightly say, pick a couple of players that they may be able to do short-term deals with that will bolster their squad leading up to a finals campaign. What does it say about... I can understand if you've got plenty of injuries. I understand that, but I'm uncomfortable with it happening and leaving spots open on a roster. I think it'd be a better system if everyone had to go with their 30-man squad and then you apply if you started to get injuries at some point throughout the season. So if you lost two players for season-ending injuries and you had only a 28-man fit roster, you could apply then to maybe approach a player and bring him to your club to fill those holes. I think that system would work better than a system where you start the season only with 28, keeping two spots available. You go 20-odd rounds or 20 rounds into the comp, and then you work out, yep, this is what we need to help us win a comp. We bring those two players in and away we go.
Mm.
I'd be more happy if you had to start the year with 30, and then if you lost players for the rest of the season through injury, you could then have a look around about bringing people back into your club.
Mm. Tell us what you think. 1353 53. Send us a text 0419 767 272. Hello, boys. Channel 7 saying the decision of the 2032 games, 5 p.m. today. Yeah, Loz said that's from the Condor. Loz has rightly pointed out they're just heading into meetings, and there'll be cups of tea and scones all day there. But we will find out later today. Sometime around 5 to 6:30.
Run me through it, Mido. Do you reckon there's all the everyone's polite at the start? How are you going? What have you been up to? That type of chit-chat, or are you just straight into business?
Mate, I avoid meetings like the plague.
What's your ploy when you walk into a meeting? Get straight into it?
No.
Or ask some fluffy questions to start?
Oh.
How are you going? What have you been up to?
I reckon I've been to, luckily, in my professional life, I'd like to say under 20 meetings.
So the best meeting for you, just get in, get the business done, get out.
Time is money, Loz.
Time is money.
Don't like the fluffy stuff?
I can't stand it.
Right.
Cannot stand it. Straight to the point. What are we doing? Sweet. Let's go.
Yep. Yes. Get out of here.
And like I said the other day, the captain obvious statement. We all know that. Why'd you say that for?
Yeah, don't hang around. Don't hang around asking questions. Yep. Get in, get out.
That's it. 6 o'clock. News is next.